If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like for you to turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and we'll start off Acts chapter 4. We'll start off there in Acts chapter 4. We're going to read a couple verses there and move along from there. Acts chapter number 4. Notice what it says in verse number 36 and 37. Forgive me, I don't have a handout like the pastor did last week. So you'll just have to write things down on your own if you're going to write things down. Verse number 36, the Bible says there in the scriptures, and Joas, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Tonight we have a man here in Scripture that was just, he was just the average man. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't one of the disciples. He ended up being a good worker for the Lord, but he wasn't somebody that was picked special. He wasn't picked special. Just an ordinary believer. So that puts all of us that are here in this church tonight in that category, in a sense. And so, if someone that is ordinary, somebody that is average, someone that's just a Christian that wants to live for the Lord, does so, let's see what he does, and maybe if we could put into practice some of the characteristics we find in this man's life, we too could also be greatly used of the Lord. Now, his name, Barnabas, it means the son of consolation, or it means that he was an encourager, and everyone needs encouragement. I doubt there's anybody here tonight that doesn't need to be encouraged a little bit tonight. It's the middle of the week, and you've still got a couple hard days at work and hustle and bustle to deal with, and so everybody can use some encouragement. My question to you tonight is, who encouraged you in the things of the Lord? Who encouraged you? There's many people that encouraged me over the years in the things of the Lord. I'd like to mention just a few. One was my father. I remember at one time in my life, I was about 12 or 13 years old, and we had moved from the state of Kentucky to the state of Ohio. And when we moved, of course, that means all new friends, new school, new neighborhood. Everything had changed. And church had changed. And so my dad made a decision not long after we made the move, because before that time, he had been a member of one church and my mother was a member of another church. He would go occasionally with my mother and with us children, but not a lot. But when we moved to Ohio, he ended up deciding we're all going to go to church together. We're all going to go to church together. And I felt that this was one thing that he did that probably encouraged me in spiritual things more than several other things that took place in my life. At that church, Forestville Baptist Church, there was a couple that opened up their home to the young people of the church. Their names were Esther and Elmer Williams. Esther and Elmer Williams were just ordinary Christians. But they opened up their home, and we had our youth meetings on their breezeway at their house instead of at the church. And they just let us come in and feel at home in their home. And they were an encouragement to the young people in those days that we were there in the church. My wife was in the same church. And because of that, I believe, there were several that ended up in the Lord's work because somebody took interest in the young people of the church. I felt they were encouraging us. We ended up going into missions Pat Beatty ended up working and still is working with Child Evangelism Fellowship. Ron Hoffman is a full-time pastor in Wisconsin, and there are others that were involved. Another person that encouraged me in the young days or the younger years of my life was my brother-in-law. His name is Ray Shepherd. Ray Shepherd was pastoring a new church plant in Belfast, Ohio. And he was an encouragement to me because he came and said, "Dennis, I could use some help out at the mission. Would you be willing to come out and help?" So I went out there, ended up teaching a Sunday school class, ended up leading the choir, ended up helping do some of the construction in the building. I mean, I did everything that you could do around a church in those couple of years that I was in Bible college, and was a great encouragement to me. And so you may think of some people that were an encouragement to you, especially those of you that are a little bit older. And then there may be some that are sitting here tonight saying, "I wish I had somebody that would encourage me." Well, the question is, who are you encouraging? Who are you mentoring? Who are you helping? You see, we don't live to ourselves. We live in, with other people around. And God will hold us accountable for the way that we reach out to these other people. Now, I want us to notice some characteristics I find in Barnabas's life that I think need to be present in our life today, right here in Singapore or over in the Philippines where this brother pastors. These things need to be in our life if we're going to be encouragers, if we're going to be people that are that help with people that need help. The first one that I want to mention is sympathy. And we find that right in the text that we read. It says here that Barnabas had a piece of land. Apparently the church had a financial need. It was greater than just the regular offerings of the church. So Barnabas sold the property and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. In other words, he was very sympathetic to the ministry of the Lord. And if there was anything that he could do, he would do it. His heart was in the ministry. It's real easy to go to church and your heart not be totally 100% in the ministry. And especially as an average member, with all of the hustle and bustle that you deal with on a daily basis, it's real easy, if you're not careful, that your heart is not tender and compassionate and have the sympathy that you ought to have as far as the work of the Lord is concerned. And when the pastor calls for help, be sympathetic. Realize that he can't do it by himself. The ministry is your ministry. He's just the under-shepherd. If something's going to be done by Heritage Baptist Church, it'll be you that do it. Keep that in mind. So you have to be very sympathetic. Now I want you to notice, right after the passage there in Acts chapter 4, when you get into Acts chapter 5, you find out when somebody's not sympathetic, what actually takes place. In Acts chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "And a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." They were following the example of Barnabas, but their heart was not in it. They were not as sympathetic as Barnabas was. And Peter said, "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained that it was it not thine own, And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? And thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And the Bible says in the last part of verse 5, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter asked her, answered unto her, tell me whether thou sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. In other words, the church, you know, had great fear. Wow. If God is that detailed, you see. You see, are we really sympathetic when it comes to the ministry of the Lord? Are we really? Are you really actively involved as much as you could be in ministry? You say, well, that's what we pay the pastor for. Oh, no. Not really. Do you really follow up on your unsaved contacts and those who are younger in the Lord? You see, one day we're going to give an account to the Lord. And a lot of it will deal with our heart condition, that we're not sympathetic. And we don't realize the real value of what is in the balance as far as eternity is concerned. So, be careful. Take the admonition. And yet, this is one characteristic that Barnabas had that made him the servant of the Lord that he was. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We're going to pick up the life of Barnabas a little farther up in the book of Acts. And notice what the scriptures say in this chapter. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. Here's a different characteristic that we find. In verse 26, the Bible says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. You know, I'm teaching a class in the Bible school. Only three brave ladies signed up for the class. What happened to the fellas? Did somebody say something that I'm to be feared? Made me feel a little like Saul when he got to Jerusalem. But in verse 27, the Bible says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he, Saul, was with them, coming in and going out in Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. I want you to notice something in this passage of Scripture. I think it's very important. Here Saul comes to Jerusalem. Now, what people knew about Saul was that he was a persecutor of Christians. But he had just been saved recently. Barnabas, he was spiritually minded. He said, let me take the time and the effort to check this out. I'm not going to just go by what I hear. I'm going to go by what I know to be a fact. So the Bible says that Barnabas took him. And I think he took him aside and says, tell me about your life, especially recently. And he found out that he was saved. I mean, the scripture says that later he declared to them how he had seen the Lord in the way, you see, and how he had been saved, and how now he was boldly preaching the gospel, you see. So he took him. That means that Barnabas stood with him. And then Barnabas spoke well of him. In verse 27 it says, and brought him to the apostles. He stood up with him. He said, let me introduce you to the leaders here. You understand? That's a difference. And because he did that, then Saul had freedom to move in and out among the people. Once the people understood everything about what had taken place, when a stranger comes into the church, get to know them. Be spiritually minded. They may be unsaved, but because you befriend them and speak to them, they may trust Christ. Or they may be a believer, but they may have problems in their life. Befriend them and encourage them and help them to grow in the things of the Lord. We need to be spiritually minded, you see. In Galatians chapter 6, the first two verses tell us how to go about that. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, you say you're spiritual? Well, you prove it to me. You prove it to me by the way you respond and act around others in your assembly of believers. Okay? We need to learn, you know, we need to help the young Christian learn the ropes, so to speak. Understand what's involved in living for Christ. And we need to speak of a Christian's good points in public, but speak to them in private about their bad points. Okay? No gossip. How do you speak to and about the young converts in your church? Do you criticize or gossip about them? Or are you spiritually minded and try to get to know them so you can encourage them? How many others are you personally trying to mentor in the things of the Lord? Examine yourself. Are you really spiritually minded? Are you just kind of marking time as far as God is concerned? Saul was able to go about and he started preaching. Apparently Saul's preaching was a little too strong for Jerusalem, at least at that point. You see, he started preaching so strongly that the Grecians got upset to the place they wanted to kill him. So the brethren in the church said, we need to help Saul. So they sent him down to Tarsus, took him to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus. You know, sometimes you have a Christian worker that works good in one place but doesn't work so good in another place. A Christian may be good at this, and this is where they fit in the ministry, but maybe they're doing this over here and they're not a fit. And a lot of times we have to get them, you know, get the round pegs in the round holes instead of the round pegs in the square holes, you see. And you see, that's part of being spiritually minded. Because God can use anyone, and he was an ordinary man. Barnabas was an ordinary man, but he was spiritually minded. He thought about the ministry. Let's go a little farther in the book of Acts, and we're going to pick up on his story just a little bit later here. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And we'll pick up reading a few verses in verse number 21. Notice what the Bible says there in verse 21. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11, verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas." Oh, here's Barnabas again. "That he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Wow, what a passage. Here's an ordinary man that is a man that's sympathetic for the work of the Lord. He's willing to be used because he has a tender heart. He's also spiritually minded because he's full of the Holy Ghost, the passage says. So he's a spirit-filled exhorter. He comes across these new Christians and they're saying, "Barnabas, what should we do?" So he exhorts them. He exhorts them. Notice what he says in verse 23. He exhorts them all that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. Be faithful to God. Believe His Word. Do what the Bible says. But he realized he was in over his head. He said, "I know a man that could take care of this situation. One that is trained a lot better than I am. He's up in Tarsus." So he went Saul seeking. That's what he did. He went Saul seeking. He went to Tarsus and got him and said, "Saul, you need to come back and you've got to help me. I got all these people in Antioch and I need somebody that can really teach them the Word of God. I've been exhorting them, but I don't know as much as you know. You come and help." Now here he's helping Saul again, isn't he? He's encouraging Saul to get more involved in the ministry. You see, here he is. He encouraged him to come back with him. And it says in verse 26, he brought him unto Antioch. And Barnabas and Saul encouraged the saints at Antioch for a whole year. And the Bible says in verse 26 there that they taught much people. So, wow. An ordinary man, just a man that had a tender heart, that was willing to allow the Holy Spirit to control him, starts exhorting people in another city, and then says, "I got to get somebody to help these people," so he goes and gets Saul to come and help them. What a man. But notice in Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, we pick up the story again. We won't be able to read the whole story here. But in verse number 2, the Bible says in Acts chapter 13, "And as they ministered to the Lord and that's in Antioch, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Now we have him being flexible enough to even go on a missionary journey. A missionary journey. Oh, I thought that was for missionaries. Well, where do we get missionaries anyway? We get missionaries because people are sympathetic to the work of the Lord. We get missionaries because people are willing to be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. We get missionaries because people are willing to exhort others or teach them in the Word of God. We get missionaries because they're willing to be used of God. And he ended up becoming a missionary worker. And you'll notice his name was first in verse 2. It said Barnabas and Saul. Isn't that interesting? Boy, I wish I could get some Christians that would be that flexible with their lives. And I'm sure your pastor here wishes he could get some Christians that would be willing to have these characteristics in their lives so that they could be true encouragers of the brethren and true encouragers of unsaved people so that the gospel can get out. Well, the story really doesn't end there, but at the end of the first missionary journey, they were came back and reported, and then they were getting ready to go on the second missionary journey, and we find that there was a little bit of disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. John Mark had gone on the first missionary journey, but he had gotten homesick or something happened, and he went home. He didn't finish the whole journey. Paul was upset by that. And he didn't want him to go on the second missionary journey. So they parted ways, and Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. What's he doing? Oh, he's picking up another person to encourage. He figured that Saul was ready. Paul was ready to take somebody else now and go on his own. And he went on the second missionary journey with Silas. Okay? Now, I've been a lot of places, and I've tried to encourage a lot of people. And there's people that are serving the Lord today, and I think part of the reason they're serving the Lord today is maybe I had a little part in encouraging them to get involved and do what the Lord would have us to do. You know, Barnabas and Paul just had a disagreement. Because in Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark," that's John Mark, "and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." He wasn't quite ready that first missionary journey. And maybe you're not ready for the first one, but that doesn't mean you can't get ready for the second one. You understand me? Why? Because we have a commission to fulfill. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world." It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's no reason, according to the Scriptures, that any Christian that's saved and knows they're saved, that is sympathetic to the ministry of the Lord, is willing to allow the Holy Spirit to control their lives, cannot also become a spiritual exhorter and do mission work, whether at home or abroad. Nowhere in the Scriptures is it. So make sure. We need some Barnabases. Amen? Who are you encouraging? If you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, you know, I'm not encouraging anyone. I can't name anybody. Shame on you. Especially if you've known the Lord for some time. Shame on you. God help you. Who are you praying about being saved? Hey, listen, we've got a job to do. And we all have to be involved in it. Dear Heavenly Father, bless to our hearts.